Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, you ready?
Ready, man.
Count me down.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you done?
Yeah.
You guys are done.
All right, start.
Three,
two, one.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. Just let me do it over.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast. Episode what?
80.
80 something.
Something.
It's creeping on up. When we get to 100, 84, something like that, yeah.
84.
Is it 84?
It's 84.
Okay. I'll have to check, because I think we did 84 yesterday.
Whatever.
All right, I'm going. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
How was your day today?
It was good until I sat down with you. You're kind of stressing me out with this whole podcast thing, man. I got to show a house tonight at 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Where is it?
York.
Okay. All right. For that client of ours?
Yeah,
we can't talk about?
Yeah, we can't talk about.
Probably. All right. Well, let's get into it today. Nicole Odom is our guest. She is the owner of Dogtopia of Charlotte and and partner of Out of the Ether. So Dogtopia offers exceptional care for dogs and currently operates in more than 50 locations in the United States and Canada. Their modern facilities provide a healthy, safe, and fun environment for dogs to socialize and play in and be supervised by highly trained and loving people. Out of the Ether is a brand strategy and website development firm comprised of a writer, designer, and a strategy team with many decades of experience building brands, crafting narratives, and developing strategies to get audiences to take action. Nicole, welcome to the Jones Zone. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's
thanks for putting up
here.
With Brian and his behavior during the intro.
I mean, it's clearly going to be a challenge.
It's going to be
speaking
a
of intros. I think I might just start doing the intro.
Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, I've done intros before, Nicole. Didn't go so well.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Just bad.
I can't handle the pressure.
You think I'm bad at it?
Wait till you hear Brian. I can't handle the pressure.
I can see how it's a high pressure
it's
situation.
It's a stressful scenario.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I gave a quick, brief introduction, but if you don't mind, why don't you share a little bit of your personal story, some of your professional background, and then how you got started with Dogtopia and Out of the Ether.
Sure. So I am one of those rare breed of people who had a job the day after I graduated college. And that's because I did ROTC in college, so I was commissioned in the Navy the very next day. Yeah.
Wow.
But the beautiful thing about that is I don't have any crippling college debt looming over my head.
Lucky.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. So I did about 4 years in the Navy after college. Went to flight school and found out that I get very airsick in Navy airplanes. Which is something they kind of frown upon.
Yeah.
When you're up there flying them. So,
how's the pilot doing? You don't want to know.
Right. It was an interesting experience to say the least. It was a lot of fun, but, wasn't for me or my body apparently. And, so I got medically disqualified from that and went on into public affairs, public relations. So, that turned into a stint in the defense contracting world in DC. And did strategic communications and corporate communications there, and was lucky enough to be part of a firm that was employee owned, and we got bought out by a bigger firm. And so I had all this employee stock that could be sitting very nicely in an IRA right now. But instead, I decided to be crazy and turn it into a small business. So I had two dogs when I lived in DC, and I had almost a 2-hour commute. And so they went to Dogtopia in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, every single day. And I spent a ridiculous amount of money for them to do that every single day. And they loved it. And what I noticed is I was spending most of my day just watching them on the webcams. And so I didn't really know what to do with that. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. And
Right, so you were in Louisiana at this point?
No, I'm in D.C.
Okay.
In D.C., but Hurricane Katrina hit, and my ex-husband is from Louisiana.
Okay.
And so, you know, we were both pretty, not personally affected by it, but touched by it. And we really wanted to do something to help. So we just packed up our Jeep Wrangler and drove for a day and a half to get to Louisiana. And we volunteered. First, we volunteered at a Baptist church outside of New Orleans in a town called Slidell for like a day and a half, just helping people. But then we went up to Baton Rouge, where his family was from, and we volunteered at the LSU Agricultural Center. And we were walking dogs and feeding dogs and make sure they had their medication and everything. And it was hot and it was smelly and it was awful, and I loved every single second of it.
What did it smell like?
It's probably best not to describe it. You know, it's just not something.
Like doggy smell,
yeah,
or
it's just
like poop.
Yes. Oh, yes. Man. All of it. You know, really? Like it's Louisiana in early September. It was hot. And there were a lot of animals. You know, not big dogs, small dogs, horses, all sorts of things there. So, you know, we're driving home from that, and I'll call that my aha moment, that I realized that I didn't want to sit in a cubicle for the rest of my life doing communications work, that I wanted to do something with animals and with dogs specifically, but I didn't really know how to turn that into something else. So when my company was bought out and I had all this employee stock, one day I walked into Dogtopia to pick my dogs up, and I was like, man, you guys just have the best job ever. I would love to do this. And they said, well, you know, we're just starting to franchise. And I said, really? Tell me more.
Yeah.
And so the very next day, while I was at work, I filled out the Discovery Day information on their website and got the ball rolling. And by October of 2007, I was a franchisee. And I didn't want to stay in D.C. That market was a little saturated at the time, and I didn't want to commute. And I was going through a divorce, and there was lots of things going on. And I was like, let's get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
So my brothers both went to Queens in Charlotte, and I loved it every time I visited. So I was like, let's try it out. Let's try Charlotte. So I packed up my bags and moved down here in December of 2007, and I've been loving it ever since.
That's awesome.
But it took about 2 years for us to get our financing from the employee stock. So what happens is the IRS has to like take a look at your employee stock option plan. They have to verify that it's fair for everybody. And as you can imagine, that takes a long time because the government is involved. So it took 24 months for me to get my money and turn that into a self-directed 401k and all this other stuff. But so it took a long time for us to get open. But here we are almost 8 years later. We opened in March of 2010, and it's been a crazy ride since then. But I'm lucky enough now that I've got a great general manager in place. And, you know, I've since had three kids, and so I've been on maternity leave a couple times now. And she's got it running really well, to the point where a lot of times I'm more in her way than
right.
helpful. So that's where kind of out of the ether has come in, where I've been looking for something to keep my brain occupied. And so that's why I joined that firm.
So what do the dogs do all day?
They play like an indoor dog park.
Okay.
So, you know, if you've ever been to the dog park and watched dogs just run around and be crazy, that's what they do at Dogtopia. They just do it inside in a safe space with supervised, you know, trained instructors who, you know, we train them on pack management and dog body language and dog behavior and all that.
So is there like a school for that? Or how do you like teach dog psychology?
Well, there's a lot of good training materials out there, and luckily as a franchise, you know, we have the resources to create some proprietary training that our employees go through about stuff like that. So we do a pretty intensive 2-week training course for all new employees, where there's a lot of video instruction, there's a lot of one-on-one instruction inside of our playrooms, there's a lot of book instruction, so it's kind of across the board for all different types of learning styles.
Thank you for your service, by the way. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Are there a lot of dogs that fight, or is there like, okay, let me ask you this. Is there a criteria for entry?
Yes.
Okay.
So every dog that comes has to go through our meet and greet process. And, you know, first and foremost, they have to be current on vaccines, rabies, distemper, and Bordetella. If they're older than 7 months, they also have to be spayed or neutered. And it's not just because we don't want, you know, unwanted puppies, which of course we don't.
Of course we don't.
But, excuse me, unaltered dogs put off different hormones, and so dogs react differently to that. So by having only altered dogs, we can make sure that, you know, it's a little bit calmer in our playrooms. But yes, then we do a temperament test with them to make sure that they're going to be good fit for our playrooms, and it usually takes about 30 minutes.
What's a temperament test? You jab it in the ribs with a stick?
No, goodness, no.
See if he gets upset.
You gonna attack me?
No. Goodness, no. So first we do a touch test where it's just, you know, our employee and the dog, and we just touch it everywhere it will let us touch it. And, you know, we touch its collar, we touch its paws, we touch its ears, because we want to make sure that we can handle the dog if we have to touch it. We do a crate test where we put it into, you know, home style water crate, just like you would have in your house, to make sure that they don't have any severe anxiety issues with a crate. And then we'll bring in 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 dogs into our, you know, little evaluation room. And we bring dogs of all different temperaments. So, you know, we'll bring a smaller dog. So let's say we're introducing a male German Shepherd. We would bring in a smaller female first, because usually they...
Like my Minpin, Dakota.
Well, if we were doing a German Shepherd, we probably wouldn't do a Minpin.
Okay. Because,
you know, we have 3 separate playrooms, so we separate by size and temperament. So we're probably not going to put a Minpin in with a German Shepherd, unless the German Shepherd's like 13 years old and doesn't really move very much.
Whatever.
But, you know, so we would introduce them to bigger dogs, but that dog we would, you know, so we would maybe do a small female lab, okay, you know, or something like that. And then we would introduce them to, you know, a more playful dog, probably another male. Then we would introduce them to one of the dogs that likes to get everybody riled up and play chase and things like that. And then we would, you know, if we had one, we'd try and introduce them to a bigger dog than them, because we want to see how they react in all of those different situations. All of those things can be triggers for, you know, dogs who might have, who might not be a fit. So it's a pretty involved process, but it gives us a good indication pretty quickly whether a dog's going to enjoy it or not.
Do you guys have to turn away a lot of dogs?
I wouldn't say a lot of dogs, but we do turn dogs away.
Yeah.
Most of the people who come to an environment like us have a pretty good idea of what their dog is like. And so they're just going to choose a different path if they know that their dog isn't great in group settings. The folks that we usually end up turning away, either, you know, the dog is a recent addition to their family and they just don't know it that well, or they've never really been to a dog park or done a daycare environment before, so they just don't have that data point to know how the dog's gonna do.
Yeah. And then I think that this is fascinating to me. Like, I would have never guessed, like, I don't know why I wouldn't have thought that, because it makes total sense that they have to go through that. But for me, like, I was just, I mean, just because I don't know anything about that world. Man, just take your dog and drop him off. What's the big deal?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to drop my dog off. Capone, he's not the Minpin. He's a Pomeranian. If this dog does not stop pooping and peeing on the carpet, like, I'm really going to throw him out the back door. Like, throw him out the back door.
Sorry. So I'm frustrated. The best thing is to get him on a schedule. So, do you have kids?
I do have kids. I have 2 girls.
So have you potty trained them?
The 4-year-old is almost potty. No, I'm just kidding. She's potty trained, but the 16-month is not.
So do you remember the potty training process for your 4-year-old and how frustrating it was? Like, where you were setting timers every 20 minutes and saying, do you have to go potty?
I didn't do all that.
I don't understand. Capone's like 10 years old.
He is. That's the frustrating part.
So he's probably having some sort of medical issue.
He's not 10. He's like five.
But he's been potty trained before.
He's been potty trained.
This is some sort of regression.
I think he's acting out.
So you're going to punish...
Do dogs act out?
So you have a 16-month-old?
I do.
How long has he been doing it?
16 months? No. It's hard. He's been doing it for a while. Like, maybe 5 or 6 months. I don't even know. I don't know if that's the right answer.
Does the 6 month? Does the baby, like, follow him around? And
sometimes, yeah.
And so he probably is acting out.
Okay.
He's probably stressed by the baby.
Okay. So we have to get rid of the baby.
So
I mean, obviously, yes. That's clearly. The answer.
Maybe it was when, like, Bristol started walking and crawling and all that.
Maybe. Because it's been about 6 months or so. Yeah. She started walking at...
Did you notice he did something similar when your four-year-old started doing all that stuff?
I don't remember, to be honest. We had 3 dogs then, but now we have 2. One passed on. But...
Right around the same time, too, right?
What?
Didn't Daisy...
Daisy passed away, like, in March.
6 or 7 months ago.
Wow.
He could be stressed. I mean,
well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna fill his love tank. I'm gonna pet him when I get home.
He probably needs it, you know. So you guys are overwhelmed with a newer addition to the family. You got a 16-month-old. I know that's a crazy first year and a half. And so if his other pack mate died and your kid started walking at the same time, like, his whole world just got rocked.
Wow.
And there's only so many ways that they can communicate that issue to you. So
now I feel really bad.
You were just going to kick him out.
I wasn't literally.
You need to go home and hug him.
I am going to do it. I think I'm going to let him sleep in my bed tonight.
Let him know he's loved. Let him know he's safe.
Should I snuggle him? I think I'm going to snuggle him. His breath smells so bad.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, you could brush his teeth. That probably wouldn't help fill his love tank.
He's like, get off of me.
Get him some greenies.
So what are some other services Dogtopia has? I know you guys do like a spa. And...
Sure. So our primary services are daycare, boarding, and grooming. And, you know, so kind of our bread and butter client is somebody who, just like your kids go to daycare, your dog goes to daycare. So you drop them off in the morning, you go to work, you pick them up in the afternoon. Then, of course, you know, if you go out of town for business or pleasure, we do overnight boarding as well. And then our spa and grooming services, we can do anything from a simple nail trim all the way up to a full groom for, you know, a show standard poodle. So really the only thing that we don't offer is veterinary services. You know, we can't give your dog vaccines. And right now we don't offer training services either. We have a great resource of trainers that we can recommend depending on, you know, what your needs are for your dog.
So in order to take advantage of the grooming, do they have to be caught up on the vaccines?
They do. They at least have to be current on rabies,
okay.
Which is actually, you know, it's a law that you have to be current on rabies.
Yeah.
So they at least have to be current on that. We do recommend that they're current on everything, just because when they're in our grooming salon, you know, they may not be playing with other dogs, but they're close by them. And so, you know, we want to make sure that everybody's as healthy as possible.
What got you so interested in dogs? I mean, other than having your own and taking them to doggy daycare, has this been a passion of yours since you were little? Or
No. So it was really Hurricane Katrina. That was when I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yes, I mean, I've been a dog owner all my life. I had a Cocker Spaniel growing up.
So did we, yeah.
We had a Cookie Cocker Spaniel. Her name was Cookie.
Mine was Buffy.
Buffy.
Because she was a buff cocker. And... you know, then I went to college, and of course I didn't have a dog then, but as soon as I got out of college and could have one, my ex and I got an Akita, and then we got another Akita, and we actually, one of my duty stations was in Japan, so we took our 2 Japanese Akitas to Japan with us. Which was a fun time, but it was really volunteering at Hurricane Katrina that made me realize that I wanted to work with dogs, but rescue doesn't pay you anything, and I'm a capitalist at heart who likes to pay her bills.
Yeah.
So I, you know, Dogtopia was really the answer that I was looking for there.
How long have they been around?
So they opened in Tyson's Corner, Virginia in 2002 as Happy Tails Dog Spa. And then did a rebrand and changed their name to Dogtopia and started franchising. And I believe the first franchise opened in 2005.
Okay.
So, and now we're up to, you know, over 50 locations in US and Canada. We're on track to have 70 by the end of this year. And our goal is to have over 400 in the next 5 years. So we're really exploding in this industry, and it's exciting.
Do you find that people are becoming more and more sensitive to their pets' needs?
Absolutely. You know, especially as folks are waiting longer and longer to have kids, you know, because financially they realize that they need to be... It's so hard to be financially ready for children these days, that a lot of millennials especially are getting dogs and treating them as their children. And so they are really helping the pet industry explode. And then, you know, on the opposite side of the spectrum are the boomers, who are now empty nesters, and filling that void with dogs, but also like to travel, and don't always take their dogs with them. So that's a great resource for us as well.
Yeah, you can't be taking your dogs on a cruise and stuff, I guess.
Yes, yes.
Driving down to Florida to go golfing.
Not always.
All right, so Out of the Ether, how'd you get started with that, and what is it?
Sure, so we're a brand strategy and website development firm, and a you know, marketing strategy. I really just had lunch with my buddy Jim, who is now my partner Jim, and I have almost 3-year-old twins, and then I have a 6-month-old baby, and I was just kind of still on maternity leave, and I was starting to catch up with everybody, and we had lunch one day, and I was like, he was asking about Dogtopia, and I was telling him how great it's going, but that, you know, they don't really need me as much anymore, and I'm not stay-at-home mom material. My kids would hate me and my husband would hate me if I did that. I would get too bored. So he was like, man, come work with me. And so him and his partner, Jeff, have been doing this for a while now. And I've just recently come on board and I'm having a great time. It's really exciting, some of the stuff that we're doing for companies. And I'm just having a ball.
So what does that look like? I mean, companies come to you guys for branding and marketing ideas and suggestions? And...
Sure. So where we really target our services is companies that haven't taken a look at their website or their brand in, you know, like 3 to 5 years. And yeah, as a business owner, I would think, my God, I just did that. I mm-hmm. just did my website. But things are moving so quickly in the digital space now that a website that is 3 to 4 years old is old these days. So, and if you're not constantly updating with content, either through a blog or through like an events page, or, you know, constantly changing the content that you have inside, then you're not keeping up with the SEO algorithms that are out there. And that can be a hard pill to swallow as a business owner. You know, these things aren't cheap. But when you think about how you approach a business. So when you and I met on email, what was the very first thing you did? Did you go to my website?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, the very first time somebody talks about a business or wants to interact with a business, it's usually through your website. So even if that's not the way you get clients, you know, a lot of firms, they're like, oh, well, we get our clients through word of mouth, or we get our clients through networking, or we get our clients through direct mail, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever those traditional advertising or marketing pathways are, the client is still going to go to your website.
Yeah.
First, before they pick up that phone and call you. Almost all the time. And so if your website's not reinforcing your brand, then you need to fix it. And if it's not getting you revenue through the door, then you need to fix it. And a lot of times, you know, even your brand needs to evolve over that period of time. So, you know, thinking back 5 years ago seems forever ago. And even Dogtopia has redone their brand twice in that time. And so if you're not constantly updating that, then it looks stale and it looks like it's been 5 years. And people actually, you know, they judge that. With their dollars.
Yeah.
And so if you want to stay relevant in this digital world, then you have to keep your brand and your website top of mind all the time. And, you know, another big thing is these wonderful devices that we keep in our hands all the time. If your website isn't mobile, then you are dead in the water. Because most of the data these days show that the primary way people interact with your website these days is on mobile.
Yeah.
And so if it doesn't scale properly, if it's not mobile friendly, then people just aren't going to use it. And they're not going to
look
at it. I think having a big social media presence is imperative nowadays as well. You know, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. Does that help the SEO as well?
It does sometimes. And, you know, all of that is really dependent on industry. And, you know, I'm not going to recommend that a commercial real estate firm be on Snapchat necessarily. You've got to find the social channels. You've got to meet your audience where they are. And so, you know, not everybody's audience is on Snapchat. You know, but LinkedIn especially is growing as a social channel these days, especially in the business world. And all those things help. Anything where you can get clicks back to your website. So if you're blogging and you're sharing those posts on your social channels, if you're creating content and sharing great images on Instagram, all those things are definitely going to help reinforce your brand. But you want them to all have this clear, concise image of what your brand is that's consistent across all of those channels. And if it's not consistent, you know, if you have one look on Facebook and a totally different one on Instagram and your website looks even different, then that's really hard for consumers to understand what your value proposition is, what your company values are. And so it's harder for them to kind of understand what your goals are as a company.
How important is it for content to be original? Like, if you're blogging, should you write your own blogs, or can you share content from other resources? Is there a preference?
So we would always recommend original content over shared content, but something's better than nothing, you know. So even we on our social channels share other influencers and things like that, but. One thing that's important to us and that we recommend to every client that we go to is to create original content. And so many people push back on that. They're like, we don't have time, we don't have the resources, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that. If you have a good plan, if you have a good editorial calendar or a good content calendar, it can be easier than you think. And blogs don't have to be these laborious, long, lengthy tomes. You know, you can put a couple paragraphs up there with a link to, so you guys are real estate agents, you know, it's really easy to talk about the trends in real estate. It's really easy to talk about your listings, you know, so I'm sure your listings are your primary focus. So if you've got this house, you know, so you're showing a house today, blog about it today. Blog about what's great about it, what you love about it, why people should be seeing it. And that gets, you can even just repurpose the description that you have in your listing and then, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about why it's a good fit for whatever your target market is. And then you can then share a picture of that house on Instagram and on Snapchat. You can post the listing on LinkedIn with a link to your blog. You know, there's lots of ways that you can repurpose content across your channels without it being this laborious process that you're like, oh my god, I'm just spending so much time on social media and fixing my website.
How is LinkedIn evolving? Are you noticing any trends? I mean, you've mentioned LinkedIn a couple times, and I feel like just in the last year or so, LinkedIn has kind of taken off in a way.
I think so. I have to admit, like, I have completely ignored LinkedIn for years. Like, it was just this thing that everybody said, well, you just have to be on LinkedIn. And, you know, it's a good way for people to connect socially in a business setting without as being as personal as like folks are on Facebook. So just to kind of talk about the way I use my own personal social channels, Facebook for me is very friends and family centered. So I lock that down really tight because I share a ridiculous number of photos of my children. You know, it's like every 5 minutes. Oh my God, they did this. Look how cute. But you know, like somebody that I meet at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, you know, that's not the kind of content that I want to share with that person. Do I want them to see me as a human being? Of course I do, but that's a bit more personal than our relationship is. So LinkedIn, I think, is a great alternative to that, because if I want to share something personal on LinkedIn, I can, and I have. I shared this wonderful picture of my six-month-old helping me out as I worked from home one day, and it was super cute, and I got lots of likes and all that good stuff. But the primary focus there is business and networking and growing your referral network and growing, you know, your business network. And so LinkedIn has finally realized, I think, that that's a special niche that they can fill, because so many people were just friending each other on Facebook, you know, well, I have to do my networking here. But then, you know, it got awkward.
Yeah.
For so many people, I think that either people deleted their Facebook accounts or they, you know, just stopped accepting friend requests or whatever it was that LinkedIn was like, hey, we can fill that space for you.
And then now the political stuff you see is it's overwhelming. It's like,
yes.
People losing friendships that they've had for years and years over something that somebody else said or whatever. It's just
I think that has probably been a good catalyst for LinkedIn, because you can be friends with somebody on LinkedIn, you can be connected without needing to know that stuff about them, which is probably best in business.
No
honestly
doubt.
There is probably a lot of folks that I don't want to know. I don't want to know your politics, thank you.
How are you using both businesses to fuel and feed each other? I mean, are you taking what you learn in one space and implementing it in the other, and vice versa?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so, you know, I've used my marketing background in Dogtopia for years, you know, since we opened. That's really been my primary role as the owner, is to drive the marketing and to drive the brand. And I still do that. When I do work on Dogtopia, that's what I do. I build our network. I do our referral marketing strategy. I oversee our website updates and our social media channels and all that good stuff. But I'm also bringing the 8 years of business experience that I've had at Dogtopia to Out of the Ether. And that's kind of my primary role, is to make sure that, you know, we're getting new business, that the cobbler's kids have shoes, essentially. You know, so that we're doing our own social channels, that we're doing our own website updates, that we are blogging. You know, we're actually considering podcasting as well, and, you know, different things like that. And then, of course, business development. So one of the things that I love to do is to connect other people.
I like that too.
I find it so much fun to be able to say, what do you need? I got a guy for that. I love it. And it's, you know, it's not something that is easy to monetize. Like, you know, how do you build a business around that?
Yeah, I know a guy. $5, I'll give you the
money. Right. And so that's kind of what I bring to Out of the Ether, is, you know, I just like sitting down and talking to people and finding out what they do and how I can help them build their business. Because I'm a big believer in karma, and what goes around comes around. And so building that network for me, you know, I think will give us returns down the road.
Yeah, that's something we've kind of didn't anticipate, but it kind of happened organically. It was just meeting all the different people that we have come on the podcast and making that interconnection. You know, if somebody needs a, you know, we'll see a poster, you know, hey, I need a caterer for this event, or they're like, oh man, you should check out the restaurant that we talked to. Or,
and you know, the other guests have been good with that as well, you know, because they provide us more people to come on.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's a referral source. It's
been pretty neat. We've gotten some real estate deals out of it, and
very nice.
Other stuff. So
yeah.
It's been fun. The whole social media and the web stuff is really interesting.
It really is. It's fascinating.
What do you do to keep up with all the changes? I mean, you just in the market or?
Yeah. So I am on my laptop all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and a little bit more on my phone than I like to admit. I was actually listening to Charlotte Talks this morning about how to manage kids and smartphones and things like that. And I was listening to so many things that I was guilty of, you know, just sitting here scrolling as my kids are eating dinner and things like that.
Mommy doesn't love us.
Yes, I do. I'm just, did you see
Mommy doesn't love, huh?
I just reposted something. I got 6 likes.
5 minutes, girls, 5 minutes. No, so it's a lot of just a lot of reading, you know, a lot of trying to keep up with industry trends and figuring out who the industry influencers are. And you know, the same as any other industry, I would imagine. You know, there's trends in real estate. You know, I'm sure you guys go to different conferences and things like that.
So. Do you have any particular favorites? I mean, are you like a Gary Vee guy or anything like that?
No, I read Marketing Profs a lot. I've been doing a bit of HubSpot Academy things, and then there's a ridiculous number on Twitter that, you know, I follow and I keep up with, and so there's a new person every day. So it can be overwhelming trying to keep up with everything. But you know, I mean the top folks from the big ones, you know, from Google, from Twitter, from Facebook, those are all ones that I keep up with, Huffington Post and stuff like that.
I want to talk just real briefly about your transition from working in the business to on the business. You probably heard that expression a bunch of times.
I use it.
So how did you make that leap, right? I mean, it sounds like you hired a great GM who came in and kind of just took the baton, but like, talk about that process a little
so
bit.
So it took getting pregnant to make it happen. Yeah, so, excuse me, when I started, I was working so much in the business that I would open at, so our employees get there at 6 in the morning and they leave at 9:30 at night. And so I would open at 6 and then my employees would come in at 7 and I would go to the front desk and then somebody would kind of hang out for a little bit so I could run and get some lunch around lunchtime. And then I would stay until 7 when we closed, and then my employees would leave and I would close at 9:30. And I would probably do that like 4 or 5 days a week. Now, luckily I was still in my, you know, early 30s then. and I didn't have kids, and my now husband and I, we weren't married yet. So I had the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, then life happened, and luckily, you know, we grew and I could build my staff, and so I started having somebody come in at 6 so I could then come in at 7, and then I had started having somebody stay until 9 so I could leave at 7. So for a long time I did 7 to 7, you know, most days of the week, and then got pregnant with my twins in 2014 and had to hire somebody who's, you know, gonna be there for me, and that really helped me learn to let go because I didn't have a choice. Like there's no way that you can have newborn twins and work 12 hours a day in
unless
a business.
You're schlepping them with you. Yeah. They don't deserve that. That's
I mean, it happened once. They weren't newborns. They were probably about a year old, where one of my employees got hurt at a different job that he worked. And so he had worked that job in the morning, was supposed to come to my job in the afternoon, and couldn't come. And so I just happened to stop into the business for something, and I had my girls with me, and they were like, oh my God, we don't know what to do. What should we do? And so I threw my Dogtopia shirt on, and I had my baby carriers. And so I put one on the front, one on the back, and I ran the front desk for about 2 hours until my husband could get there and pick the girls up. And then I worked the rest of the shift. So, it's not what I would recommend, but, you know, we made it work. And so, you know, since then I have a new general manager now, and she's taken on even more, you know, as I got pregnant a second time. And, so she really basically runs the business now, and I'm more of the, hey, we should do this
Yeah.
You know, or if you have questions, come to me for this. Or let's talk about overall budgeting and let's talk about overall marketing strategy. And then, of course, you know, I do this kind of stuff. I get out in the community and I talk about Dogtopia and I network and I do our marketing. I enforce our marketing strategy and our referral marketing strategy because I'm a big believer in rewarding your referral network. I had a great business coach named Stacy Randall who really reinforced that, and it's been a big part of our marketing strategy. So that's what I do, and luckily now it is working on the business instead of in the business, which is the sweet spot of small yeah. business ownership.
All right, cool. Let's put you on the spot then. Brian, you want to ask her the question?
Well, I noticed you had a Star Wars purse.
Yeah.
So with that being said, favorite Star Wars character?
So I've got to go with Princess Leia, which sounds like such a...
Cop out.
Because
you're a woman and a woman.
Yeah, but so I was born in 1978, and so I'm prime Star Wars audience right there.
So what's her deal? She's Luke Skywalker's brother?
She's a girl.
She's her sister?
She is.
They're brother and sister.
She is Luke Skywalker's
and they made out
twin
or something.
Sister.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, you didn't know that?
No.
So I'm giving you guys some homework. You have to go actually watch the original Star Wars movies.
Okay.
Please, okay.
I can't promise you that.
There's three originals. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so, you know.
Return of the Jedi.
There's
Empire
A New
Strikes
Hope,
Back.
Which is the first one that in the desert.
Episode 4.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. Why do they do that? George Lucas, does he know what he's doing?
Not anymore.
He'll never make it in this business.
Not anymore. And then there's Empire Strikes Back, which is actually my favorite of all of them. And then Return of the Jedi. So at least watch those three.
What is a Jedi? Is Yoda a Jedi?
Yoga?
Yes.
Yoda.
With a G?
I said Yoda.
Yes, Yoda is a Jedi.
So Jedis are green people. Or is he just green?
No,
he's just green.
He happens to be a Jedi.
He happens to be green.
He's a Jedi who happens to be green.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
Can you be a
but
human who's a
Luke
Jedi?
Luke Skywalker is a Jedi.
And he's human.
Okay. And Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn, they're all
what is
Jedis.
Jedi mind tricks.
So that would be if I was like, you will sell this house today.
Ah,
and
yeah.
They were like, yes, I will sell this house today.
Well, hypnosis.
I mean, it's a little like hypnosis, I guess.
But, yeah, law of power of attraction or whatever.
So,
on steroids.
Yeah. Jabba the Hutt would say it's for weak-minded fools.
Why would he say that? Is he a good guy?
No.
Jabba the Hutt's a bad guy.
Yes.
He's saying you shouldn't be influenced by yoga.
I like this guy. Who's this guy? Jabba the Hutt.
He's in Return of
the like
Jedi.
The big...
Oh, he's. I thought he was a good guy.
No, definitely
he's
not.
He's not a human.
He used to be a guy, good guy, bad guy.
Yeah, in this universe, you can definitely
Yoda's
be a good guy.
Yoda's a good guy, and he's not
a
human.
Yeah, that's true. That's
what's
accurate.
The gold dude's name?
C-3PO.
C-3PO.
Yes. He's a droid.
Yes. Now, was he a human at one point, or was he was born droid?
No.
He was born droid.
Yeah. But so I mean I grew up watching Star Wars, and you know, Princess Leia is one of the few female role models for somebody of my age as a kid that was so widely popular. So I actually would get my grandmom used to work at a company where she could get me a Star Wars toy each week, and so I didn't play with Barbies. I mean, I did a little bit, but I played with Star Wars toys. And then I had two younger brothers who then played with Star Wars toys as well. And so, yeah, it's been...
What's a Darth? Like, there's Darth Vader, everyone knows him, but there's also Darth Maul, right?
He's the same person, right?
No.
Oh.
He's got red face and black face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is Darth a title, or is Darth like a ranking?
So
like a rank?
Star Wars nerds out there, don't crucify me on this because I don't exactly know the answer. But
hey, trust me, the Star Wars people who are listening are yelling at Chris.
They're
really
more upset.
You
don't know what a Darth is, idiot.
I think it's more how could you never have seen the movie? Like,
yeah,
it's bad. I tried.
It's terrible.
Brian will tell you, I can't.
Yeah, I've been trying to get Chris to watch Game of Thrones for 7 years.
Suspend
disbelief. You can't suspend
disbelief. Yeah, I struggle with that so hard.
This is so unrealistic. I'm like, watching Transformers, Chris. I know.
Yeah. A car could never do that.
I mean, Transformers is terrible. So don't
yeah, that's different.
At least
different
watch
ballpark.
The original cartoons instead. That's yeah. so much better. Yeah.
Have you seen the He-Man cartoon? How Dad let us watch that, I'll never know.
Why? Why do you say that?
Dude's that's running around in his underwear, and he's just kind of...
He's not in his underwear, that's his outfit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but it's really short, and it's just kind of...
It's a cartoon!
I know, but I was a little kid, I don't know.
Did you watch She-Ra,
weird.
Too?
Yeah.
I actually showed my kids that recently, it was a lot of fun.
What did He-Man used to say?
By the power
by
of
the
Grayskull.
By the power of Grayskull. Yeah.
Grayskull, yeah.
The Skeletor would come out.
There's a new cartoon, there's a commercial with Skeletor and He-Man. Do you know that? It's a Geico commercial.
Dude, that's what made me say that. You said no. I'm listening to the playback on this podcast.
I'll have to listen to the playback.
Did you see the He-Man commercial? He's like, no. Oh, and then he's like, oh, there's a new commercial out.
You know what? I think you said cartoon. You didn't say commercial.
Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, take us home. Spend maybe
literally take us home. I'm out of gas.
Another minute.
I mean, if you can fit into a Britex car seat, you're welcome. They take out my whole car.
So just remind us who you are, what you do, and then how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. So again, I'm Nicole Odom. I am the owner operator of Dogtopia Charlotte, and you can reach us at dogtopia.com/charlotte. We are located off of Old Pineville Road between Woodlawn and Tybola on Springbrook Road. And I'm also a partner in Out of the Ether, and you can reach us at outoftheether.com.
Awesome. Well, Cole Odom, thank you for coming on the Jones Zone. It was
thank
a pleasure
you.
To have
I
you.
Had a great
it's
time. Such a good time. Had a great time. Thanks, yeah. guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.